I think we're ready now. Okay. Memphis and Aunt Irene. During the telephone interview? You want to move on? We can, sure.
Is it? Don't cut it off there. Don't be saying phenomenal.
Well, I got the thing running. Now, just take as much time as you need. Don't worry about it running.
Oh, yeah. Well, all right. Then what have you been putting on about Memphis now? He's about...
Well, we covered when you went to Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
You went to school in Memphis, right?
Yes.
Where did you go to school?
Georgia Street School.
Georgia Street School.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Later known as Porter School.
Uh-huh. Named after?
I don't know. Uh-huh. I never said.
Uh-huh. Maybe Georgia Porter.
Well, Georgia was the street that was on.
I know, but maybe there was somebody...
Perhaps. You know. I don't know.
All right. So what about, were there any people at school that you remember? Students, teachers?
Yeah, my teachers.
Okay. Well, tell me something about them.
Well, I had two teachers I remember very well. Mrs. Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a Christian, and she'd always... and ask you questions. I mean, you would tell us stories about in the Bible. There were times about 30 minutes in the afternoon during study, after you would study, before we dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have class. We had finished all our classes. Well, see, we had one teacher, and you had all your subjects. We didn't have a teacher for every subject in the grammar school.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the first person that, she used to tell stories, and they said the first time I ever knew, she asked this question I shall always remember. How many people were saved in the ark, in the flood?
Mm-hmm. How many were?
Eight. And there was only one girl in that class that knew that. And her name was Mary Money, and she was from Senatobia, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. And wait a minute. When you say saved, do you mean who didn't drown or who had accepted Christ in their lives?
That was that.
Or did they both mean the same thing then?
Oh, no. That was... But do you know the story of the flood?
Yes, I know the story of the flood, but I don't know how many people were saved on the ark.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They were on the... Only one, all the rest of them were drowned.
Uh-huh, okay.
All the rest of them were drowned.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Noah and his wife,
mm-hmm.
and their three sons and their wives.
Mm-hmm. And all them animals and bugs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And caterpillars and worms.
Everything was saved.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what she looked like, Miss Cooper?
Oh, yes. She said she was tall, these tall, yellow women.
Mm-hmm.
With gray hair. She all had her hair was all gray. Mm-hmm. She used to wear it parted down the center and then carried back. That's the way women were wearing the hair, carried back. She had a ball in the back.
At the nape of her neck there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And she wore eyeglasses. And she would take her glasses off and basically put them up in the hair.
Mm-hmm.
and then I now I know they were her reading glasses, you see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Women wear sunglasses like that sometimes now when they try to be slick.
Oh yeah.
Put them up in their hair like that.
Oh well, I went. They didn't have. So I didn't see sunglasses that time 60 years ago. Mm-hmm. But anyway, then. She'd forget she had put them there, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd be looking all over them. And the kids would start snickering. Finally, she'd remember where they were in her hair. But she knew how to keep order in her class. No one talked back. Of course, children in those days did not talk back to teachers. I mean, you had very few problems with children in school,
mm-hmm.
because they came out of homes.
Mm-hmm.
You just didn't talk back to your parents, and so you didn't talk back to your teachers. You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, if you did, if they had to send a note home to your parent, and your parents had to come to school,
mm-hmm.
it was a bad day for you. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So it just you had that was rare.
Mm-hmm.
Then she. Oh, I guess perhaps I must have been about in the sixth grade then. And then Miss Ida Stevenson. She was a tall, dark brown skin woman. Very, very good teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always got along very well with teachers because they always considered me smart, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I always
were an eager student.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I, and then we on in those then in Miss with Miss Stevenson, Miss Stevenson. In those days, we had 6-1A and 6-1B, but I guess that was just a part of the sixth grade.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you finished 6-1B, you were promoted to the seventh grade.
I see.
7-1A and 7-1B.
Mm-hmm.
And after 7-1B, then after that, then you went into high school in the eighth grade.
I see.
That's as far as you could go in Georgia Street.
Mm-hmm.
But then Ms. Stevenson, we used to have on Fridays, we had spelling. A spelling bee.
Mm-hmm.
Now sometimes you would have it in the class, and once a month you would have it. They had slide doors to divide the classrooms,
mm-hmm.
between the six and the seven. I mean, you might have had it between those. I don't recall, but I mean, I know between the six and the seven.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would slide, push the doors back, and then there'd be competition between those two classes.
Yes.
The girls against the boys.
Uh-huh. And the girls always won, didn't they?
Yes, indeed.
The girls always won.
And they, honey, now then they always got Bernice Menace in that.
You were a speller.
Yes, indeed, honey.
And they spell anti-disestablishmentarianism.
And, they would choose them. They choose the one who they thought to spell.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you missed the word, then you could be turned down. You know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean by that. You know. You know what you mean by
you sit down in your seat.
No. Yeah. When you got, well, you have to go to your. And on a Friday, you could do that. I mean, when you had those classes, the two rooms combined,
mm-hmm.
you'd have to sit down. But when you're just in the room there, they would, if you couldn't spell a word, and I could spell it, if you were, like, there's somebody was always at the head of the class, you see,
mm-hmm.
of the spelling line. 1, 2, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that, you know, you had a, it was how you ranked, if you were first or second, if you could stand, but if someone could, if you could, miss, if you miss the word and the person next to you spell it, they could turn you down until you got to the foot, you know?
I see. I see. The back of the line.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, we call it the foot of the line.
Uh-huh. Right, right.
So anyway, but on Friday when we were with the two classrooms, then you had to go to get went to your seat.
Mm-hmm.
And then who'd be left standing here, one on this side of the room, one on the other side.
You know, spilling back and forth.
Spilling back. And then they had another thing they would do. They would do arithmetic. You do math, and it's in a girl against a boy to the blackboard. And you would stand facing, with your back to the blackboard, and the teacher would give out the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Some fraction, 20 and 5/8 times 30 and 40 and 4/5 or whatever. Mm-hmm, you have to say that. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And
you had to work that.
And you when she said that, and when, by the time she finished it, you and the boy were supposed to turn simultaneously to the board, you know,
mm-hmm.
and start figuring that out. And when you finished it, whomever finished first,
mm-hmm.
then you turned around. And every time, they had a couple of smart boys there, Augustus Sturdivant and Albert Green. And every time they would turn around, they'd be looking in my face.
I know you just loved that, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. See, because in those days, you see, because there were a lot of, I don't care what they say now, you know, I mean, people go around and talk, black is beautiful, you know, and all
mm-hmm.
that. But in those days, honey, it was so true. You see, if you were white, you were right. And mm-hmm. if you were yellow, you were mellow. And if you were brown, you could stick around. But if you were black, you got back, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You just didn't get any place.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were, I don't know whether it was because, I thought that, I don't know why, but I know it wasn't that, because before I even was able to even think about that, you know,
mm-hmm.
I just always liked to read and do something.
Mm-hmm.
I was always smart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
I had a desire to learn, because I was sent to a Catholic school in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because...
In Little Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And... he might have been going to send Sammy, too, but Sammy wasn't old enough, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But that was at Porter School. Of course, we had the principal of the school, L.E. Brown, and... Then I had another teacher, a man teacher. That's the only man teacher that I had, S.S. Brown. And now his niece, she was a Grace King. She was a king. We used to exchange Christmas cards
mm-hmm.
all this time. She's in Memphis now.
Mm-hmm.
She's the only one, and the only one that I know about now.
Mm-hmm.
Because the others I know that I knew were dead. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, I know some. Like this girl that knew that how many persons were saved in the ark.
Mm-hmm.
She's still alive. But she was older than I was. You know, I guess Marietta has to be, I know she probably is about Maybe two, I imagine. Mm-hmm. She was a good-looking girl. She was a pretty girl. Mm-hmm. And but then we went to. There was no high school then, except one that the. Well, I guess the whites had moved out of that neighborhood, and then we got that one, Cartwright High. Cartwright, Cartwright High School. Mm-hmm. And that's where we went, and then, until they built Booker T. And I guess they were building it then. They were building Booker T. They must have finished Booker T maybe in, I don't know what, in sometime in the 20s. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, because your mother went to Booker T. Mm-hmm. And she went to that same school as I did. You know, I don't think Marie started. Porter School was one of those, Georgia Street School was one of those schools that whites had too. Uh-huh. And then they built a new one around on Lauderdale. And that's what they named it, Porter School. Mm-hmm. But you could just walk right through right across the lawn and it was some children, such an old, well, they still went to the old school, you mm-hmm, see. Mm-hmm. But Marie went to the new one that was there on, she might have started there. I think she did at the school that I attended. Mm-hmm. Then they finished that other one and she went to that one. Then she went to Booker T, but I was never fortunate to go to Booker T. The only time I went to Booker T is when I took you. Mm-hmm. That was when your mother was here and your dad was in the Army. And my teacher that I had in high school saw me coming with this little boy. And she knew me. Teachers see a lot of children, you know. Mm-hmm. And so her name was Alzora Hayes. And she looked at me. She said, don't tell me your name. She said, I know you. She said, I can never forget you. She said, who, what? And so then I started, she said, oh, Menace. I told her, Brady Smith, Menace, yes indeed, I can never forget. And she said, is that your little boy? I said, no, that's my little grandson. Your grandson, I said, that's Marie Campbell's son. But she remembered Marie. She said, well, I tell you this, you're not going to send him here. I refuse to teach you.
Two generations is enough.
Yeah. There was going to be a war picture shown there that night. And so I took you. Mm-hmm. But she's still a, when your mother went to a family reunion here not long ago, I mean to the school class reunion, uh-huh. She saw Miss Hayes.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And she was there, and Marie said she looking good, and had a boyfriend and was dancing up the breeze.
That lady must be up there too.
She is. She might be. But when you look back on it, I don't suppose she's more than, you know how teachers, some of those teachers were teaching, and some of the children were students were not many years
younger.
Mm-hmm. You know? And I think that must have been her case,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because she couldn't be more than, I don't believe she's more than 5 years older than I am. I really mm-hmm. don't think so.
Mm-hmm. We should make her about 85 mm-hmm, or thereabouts.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Uh-huh. And she was a nice-looking brown-skinned woman. She was an English teacher. And she was the one who said, Now, this is your first, this one we had, teachers for different classes, you know, subjects. And she was our English teacher. And she said, now that you're in high school, you have to enlarge your vocabulary, because you're going to be known by the way you speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be, and the first thing she did, one of the first things, the assignments she made was, she gave us 100 words to find the meaning and make sentences.
Mm-hmm. That lady was serious, wasn't she?
Yes, and I shall never forget something. And she started, all alphabetically, she started with, and I shall never forget, adroit was one of the first words.
Mm-hmm.
You know how something just stick in your mind,
Yeah. For no reason, it just sticks there.
Yeah, adroit. I never say the word adroit, rarely.
Mm-hmm.
I think of it, I hear it, unless I think of that assignment through the head.
Mm-hmm.
And, but that's the, that's, boy, she was a stickler for English.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that was one of the, that's one of the reasons why as you know, you've always heard me always correcting you on how you speak, you know. But she was very, but then after that, there, even now, I never, it's such a thing, I don't even, after all these years, I don't even like to talk about it. And I try to push it as far out of my mind as I can, because it's a thing that hurts when I had to stop school. That's one of the things that hurt me. You know, I don't know whether it just hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had, with these very same children, they came, one of them came here last summer. You remember when one was here last summer? Came here from Memphis. Annie Mae was here last summer.
I guess I don't remember.
She came here for a couple of days. Anyway, they were Aunt Irene's, they were Annie's husband's sister's children.
Uh-huh.
And she raised those children.
Annie did.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where school was out that summer. I got a job to work, so I had to get some clothes to go to school, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was making $5 a week, and I'd bring the money and give it to Anne to keep, to sit. And when time get rid, so she could sew. And in those days, the girls were wearing midi blouses and skirts and gingham and things, gingham dresses, you know, pretty dresses like
mm-hmm.
that. And when I got ready to go to, when time come to go to school, she didn't have the money. She had spent it on those children. And she bought me a couple of, She got me a few things, and I went to school for about a month. Then it was getting cold. I didn't have a coat, so then I had to quit, I just had to quit and go to work, and I cried. I shall never. And I was so silly after all these years that I think about it, I cry. I don't know why. It hurt me that bad.
Yeah.
I wanted to go so badly. So then I just stopped. I didn't have anything to wear.
Mm-hmm.
So then I went on to work. And I should never forget Miss Culper, our music teacher. She lived on Ioka in our neighborhood. And she saw me up at the store. And she said, Minnis, why aren't you at school? Why haven't you? And I told her I wasn't going anymore, and I told her why. And she looked at me with such pity, and she shook her head. She said, such a pity. Such a bright child. She said, couldn't you could get a job out in the rural and teaching. Maybe you could get a job out there to make you some money.
Mm-hmm.
So you could finish. But I had nobody to help me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know anybody to help me. But I never forget Miss Crawford. Just today, she looked at me and she shook her head. I said, such a pity. She was an excellent music teacher. She gave music from room to room every day.
Mm-hmm.
Piano lessons. So then I went on, and then I worked for about a couple of years. Then I met you and your grandfather. Moved on it.
Those first jobs that you had, do you remember what you were doing?
Oh yes, I was a maid, washing and cleaning, domestic.
Mm-hmm.
At 122 North Evergreen. I worked out there for a while. After Albert and I married, then I didn't work any place then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just, in those days, a lot of women just didn't work if they had a husband.
Mm-hmm.
They just stayed at home and took, you know, mm-hmm. the husbands took care of them. Whatever he brought, they made do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I can recall, and I was having babies too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I wouldn't have gone then, because my baby was still little. If Albert was throwing his money away, you know,
mm-hmm.
because in heaven on earth we got read out. He wouldn't pay the rent. And on the man, and they'd come and read you out, you know, and give you 10 days to pay. You pay $2 for the man to come out there and read you out.
Mm-hmm.
Then if you didn't pay within that time, then they'd come in and break in your house, set your furniture out in the street.
Hmm.
And that's what they did with ours. They didn't set the furniture out in the street. Because I was working with Memphis Power and Light Company then, and was making about $18 or $20 a week. That was a lot of money then, honey.
Hmm.
A lot of money. But Negroes weren't making that kind of money then. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And working at Memphis Power and Light Company. And he was just getting, being tripping all along, and I just kept on staying there and not having anything, and when he didn't have it, I would just tell Mr. Will, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Will would give me some money, and I'd go and buy groceries, and he'd jack Albert up, you know. And then sometimes he would, when Albert didn't, we sitting there with nothing. We just had the last we had to eat. I wouldn't eat. I'd give what I had to the children, you know,
mm-hmm.
and put them to bed, and then just wait. And he hadn't come home. And when he come in, about 10 o'clock, high in a kite. I ain't got nothing. I just, whatever I had, I got up and I started hitting him with a namely, whatever I had. Then we got the, then he, after he hit me back, he hit me. Sometimes I say, that's pretty nice. The doctor said, hey, maybe I ought to get a lick in my eye. Maybe I did. Maybe that might have caused. I don't know, but I really think. But he hit me in my eye. That eye all swole up there. And then I was going to kill him then. He ran out the house, ran up to his dad. What did I do? I hit him with something. I must have, when I went, he went to the kitchen, I must have grabbed a knife and something and cut him on the arm or something. I don't know what, I can't recall now what it was. But anyway, when I got up there, he had gone up to his daddy's. Well, see, his daddy left the street, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was right behind him. And I went on to the house, and Joseph was, she came out, and I just pushed her on the side and went on, and Mr. Will said, he just came. He just met me, and he said to Joseph, I guess he could see my eye was all swollen,
mm-hmm.
and he said, take her in there and put something on her eye. He said, I'm going to take Albert up here to Dr. Bailey. And I remember saying, let me alone. I don't need nobody to put anything on my eye. Because Annie didn't live in Memphis then. She had gone to Mississippi, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't have any relatives in Memphis then, you know. I had nobody in Memphis. And I went on back home. At that time, I was, he had been taking the money and doing so trifling. I had, we had to keep something for the kids. I had got a job over the Memphis Furniture Factory.
Mm-hmm.
By that time.
But what year is this?
It must have been 19 and, let me see, 20, about 19 and
20. Mm-hmm.
About 19 and 20. Not that long, because I had to take Maria out of the bed and carry her. It wasn't that issue. It must have been about
26 then.
It must have been about 26.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. 25, 26. Six. Mm-hmm. About 26. And they were paying $6.05 a day, a week.
Mm-hmm. 12. Let me ask you this, before we get to the furniture company. When did Granddaddy start drinking? Do you know how he got into that drinking?
Up at that, when he was working at the Memphis Power, and when he started, he wasn't drinking. See, she wasn't drinking when Marie was born, because I almost died when Marie was born. But when he started working for Memphis Power Light Company, he got tied up with some. He was going with some woman there, up there, and he got in with this bunch of fellas up there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he wouldn't come home. And he, he didn't drink before. I can't recall him. Now he might have taken a drink, but he wasn't that.
Yeah, but he wasn't a drinker.
Because there was like Jerry and John Aubrey and them. You know how the fellas come, those little boys come, and then they take a drink. You know,
yeah,
go to
yeah.
his friend, and we played. We liked to play, because there was no card playing in our house, in my house, or not in his house either.
Mm-hmm.
And people were, my family was a Christian family, and they just didn't play cards, you know,
mm-hmm.
and sit down and drink like that. But especially, there were, I guess there are some families who did, but our families mm-hmm. didn't, you know,
mm-hmm.
they just didn't. And of course, there have always been families who did that, you know. But,
sure,
but
sure.
not, but just, there are certain families who just didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't do that over their children. They just didn't. They didn't go to church and Sunday school. They just didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then, as you grow up, then you see others do it. Then you start doing it. You get away from that. You see.
Mm-hmm.
And, but you, as the scripture said, train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. You'll go back to it, you see.
Uh-huh.
I went out there all right enough, but I came back, you see,
mm-hmm.
to the way I was brought up. But anyway, when he started working up there, and he, for the first, I guess, perhaps 6 months after he worked up there, he brought his money home. Because then we were sitting there making these plans in our mind. You're just making these plans
mm-hmm.
for the children, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to move off of that and over across the river on Austin. That was, white people had lived in those houses over there on McDowell and all over there. And there were some nice houses over there. And we had thought we would buy a house, you know.
Just, mm-hmm.
And, because where the father lived up there, and Vivian there. The white people lived in those houses, because the white people lived on one side of the street, and we lived on the other side on mm-hmm. Walnut Street in those days. But those white people's houses were right across the street. But anyway, and that's what we were doing. And he just got tired of it then and got gambling. And just started, well, I really just could not believe it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I really couldn't believe it. Because I could never think, I never thought that the day would ever come that we just wouldn't be together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I never thought it. But then he went from, dead, but they took our furniture, set down in the street. First they took the furniture. The French man came and took the furniture that he hadn't paid for. Paid on, hadn't missed the payments on it.
Mm-hmm. So they just repossessed that.
Yeah. And then mother was left in the house for them and didn't pay the rent, and the man just sent that out in the street.
Mm-hmm.
That was embarrassing. A lady across the street came over there and told me, she said, Bernice, I just came to tell you that they're putting your strength things out in the street.
Where were you?
Huh?
Where were you at the furniture company?
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah, she just came from from across the street to the furniture company to tell you what was happening at home.
She walked way over there to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And Ardelia. And so I didn't go home. Because, you see, the children were there, Miss Helms. They were right down the street. The children were down to Miss Helms, that dear old lady. And so I didn't go home. I went on to the Memphis Tavern Night Company. And I told him what was happening. And I said, you better go and get something and put my things in the house. Find somewhere to put my things. So he got all. I don't know where we stayed that night. I can't remember where we stayed or where I stayed. I might have stayed at Miss Helen's. I don't know. Of course, Amy wasn't there. I might have stayed next to Miss Hattie Parks. Some of the friends back there, you know, because the little children had. It didn't make too much difference. But then we could have stayed up to Mr. Wills, you know.
Yeah, he'd be right down the street. So.
Yeah. And so he went and found a place and got to that and moved up there. Moved the things up there. And even that, now out of all of that, that didn't stop him. That didn't stop him. Then finally the man, I mean, the white man on the job came. I guess he had, I don't know what he had been telling the man, but the man came to the down to the house and to our house and asked, was Albert there? Had Albert hadn't got to, what time did Albert leave for work this morning because he hadn't got to work? I told him I don't know because he hadn't been home. I hadn't seen him. And so he just went home and fired him. And before that, see, I had been getting, I got these bills. He didn't have any sense. These bills coming from where he had this charge account where he had, and had these women's clothes. The bills had come into the house. So I went up there. I went up to the place.
To the store?
Yeah. And so the man was saying, asking me, I said, well, listen, this is, I want to know because I am his wife. And I said, I want to know because I didn't get the thing. I just want to know. So I guess I was running off the mouse. He said, well, yes, he did get them. So then next day he got a gun from some loan company. He had borrowed some money. On Beale Street, and when them loan shark places. So after we moved up there, and the man fired him, then Mr. Wills was working over there, and Mr. Wills had stopped working down on the railroad, and he started working working over there at the Royal Feed Mill, so he got Albert a job over there, and that's where he finished going to the Dogs.
Before we go to that, what do you know what he did when he was at Memphis Power and Light? What kind of job he had? What did he do? Do you remember that offhand?
I really don't know, but Al was must have been doing some kind of maintenance work. He was good at fixing things. See, when they he went on that job he didn't apply there. They were building that place, and he went on that job with contractors. And someone in the personnel saw him, how handy it was. Because Al was, he was smart like things. He really was. And they gave him a job there because the contractor had finished that job there, you see.
And so they just hired him on at the company. And then when he went over to the feed mill place, what did he do there? Still maintenance, probably.
I said, yeah, I imagine.
Given that he had the background?
Yeah. So, so, that's where he
finished going on. Down to the Dogs, you said.
Yeah, that's where That's where I left him there.
Mm-hmm.
I left him at that and went to, Mama came and got me. And I went to Mississippi then.
You have your dad's car?
Ooh, yes.